Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
This is the time of the morning where we join our very own Adam Kamda. Adam Kamda, as you know, is very busy getting business done and getting his hobby. Yes, his hobby takes a lot of his time, but he really enjoys it. Makes him a cool, calm, collected human being. Makes him as someone that serves the community with distinction. And he's got no time for panchaat. No panchaat platter with Adam. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafaz. Yes, you must thank Wind Guru so that I'm not out at sea today. The forecast was for overcast with chance of rain and strong southwesterly winds. And they were spot on, Shafaz. When I woke up, it was already cloudy, but still pretty clear. But in the distance, I could see the clouds gathering, and actually the sun came out for just like 5 seconds. And now the clouds have moved over the beachfront, and the sky is melting into the sea, Shafaz. You can't even see the horizon. So it's a wet morning here on the Durban beachfront, but there are still people out cycling and jogging. The water users are in the water already, surfers, paddleboarders, and even bathers, Shafaz.
Now, Adam, there's something, I was talking to a group of friends the other day, and, they said, it seems as if the yesteryear there was a perception that the fishermen were, somewhere there was an argy-bargy, or there's an argument and screaming, hey, that's a fisherman family or something, they used to say. In other words, denigrating, say, oh, these people are bound to act like that because they're fishermen. But today, I mean, if you look at the fishing fraternity, people like yourself and all your friend Prince Lu and Waterloo and all these people, if you look at it, it's a very refined sport, and it has some very astute gentlemen being part of the fraternity. What's your comments?
Yes, I'll give you an analogy, Shafaz. If you think in yesteryear people who used to ride bicycles, they were considered not wealthy enough to own a car, so it's a shame these poor people have to ride around or cycle around on a bicycle. But now they are the most prestigious people to own these racing bicycles, who go out and have enough leisure time to enjoy the sport of cycling, Shafaz. And the gear that they wear is worth like 10,000 rand. The bicycles they ride is worth between 20 and 50,000 rand. So it's become quite an elitist sport to be a cyclist. So they're seen in quite a different light. And it's the same with fishing, Shafaz. Before, if a person has a bamboo rod and he's heading down to the sea, he's seen as a low class, he can't afford much, and he's trying to just get some food to put on the table. But now that's also become a pretty much an elitist sport, Shafaz, with fancy boats and expensive gear, and even your fishing apparel that you wear, it must be the latest Dorado print UV resistant shirt, and your reel must be a Shimano Stella reel and an Assassin rod. So, you can get what you want from each sport, Shafaz. And I say there's fishing is accessible to everyone. Whether you can't really afford much, you can buy a cheapish combo and enjoy a beautiful day in the open air with your family. Or if you want, you can head out to the furthest reaches of the ocean and target specific species that, a man is a hunter and he loves to hunt trophies and catch all these big and difficult fish to catch up at.
Yes, I'm going to use a fishing analogy here. When you're fishing and suddenly you find, hey, something's wrong here, man. Something's wrong. And you say, hey, I felt a nibble, and you pull down, there's no fish there. And same thing happened to me, Adam. Whilst here, the network just fell on me. Boom, down it was, and you were giving me such a powerful analogy about the bicycle. As a lighty, I owned a chopper. Hey, everyone would turn the head and say, how? He's got a chopper. At that time, I didn't know, chopper. Mum used to buy whatever I wanted and so forth, really enjoying that. But as you were giving us a powerful analogy indeed. I mean, yesterday the perception was, that fellow's riding a bicycle. Shame, eh? He's got a bicycle. But anyway, he got from point A to B. He made a decent living and he lived on, Adam. Continue.
Yes, Shafaz, your chopper, let me guess, you took a roll of sellotape and a small piece of cardboard and you taped it to the frame. So the cardboard was between the spokes. And when you rode your chopper, it sounded like a motorcycle. Correct me if I'm wrong, Shafaz.
You know what? This was a state of art. It had speedometers. It had indicators. It had a look. When you rode it, it told, hey, I'm a chopper. It was a bottle green chopper. And I tell you, I didn't do that, but everyone in the neighborhood came and they wanted it. Hey, but as a bad lighty, Adam, I never shared it with anyone. But I wish I knew you then, so maybe I would have been magnanimous. But as I grew on, I learned to be more, big-hearted and so forth, Adam.
Yes, as a little kid, Shafaz, you can't wait to be a grown-up. So we used to tie these little pieces of cardboard on our spokes. And the faster we rode, it sounded like you were revving your motorbike, and it was so much of fun, Shafaz. Just coming back to that analogy, fishing used to be pretty much not really a sport, Shafaz. It was a way of life that, to put food on the table. So you'd find a lot of poor people would be fishermen, and ultimately they'd be classed as low-class Shafaz. But things have changed, things have evolved, and the modern fishermen, Shafaz, using state-of-the-art fishing tackle. And now, Shafaz, even if you have the luxury of time, you are considered privileged. So to take the day off from work, or to when you on leave to dedicate yourself to actually going and indulging in the sport of fishing is a real privilege. And because your time is so important, people tend to spend as much as they can afford to have the absolute best tackle to enjoy this wonderful sport. It's an outdoor sport that you can enjoy with the entire family. Once you invest in the basic tackle, you can get lots of use out of it just buying terminal tackle and buying bait whenever you're going out. Or if you have really deep pockets, it can use up all your extra resources, Shafaz. Once you get into boating and going out deep sea fishing, then you have the fuel cost and the mooring cost and everything. But everything comes at a price. If that's your passion and that's what gives you peace and joy, then I encourage you to go all out and really enjoy this fantastic sport of fishing, Shafaz.
No, absolutely. And as perception changes in life, and you look at it, the leadership in when you look at the type of people that are running world affairs, and it reminds me of an anecdote which says there'll come a time when the dregs of society will be in position of power. But we leave that alone and move on with our fishing segment. When we look at December, we find that a lot of people come to our part of the world, Durban, and you're right on top there looking at the holiday makers. Is it true that we have about 92% fully booked, or is it just an exaggeration from our municipality? What's the real figures, Adam?
Yes, before we move on to that, another analogy, Shafaz, is in the olden days, everyone owned horses and only the wealthy owned cars. Now, everyone owns a car and only the wealthy own horses, Shafaz.
Absolutely, and most of our people are buying farms. Go and see. On certain farms, yes. Some of my friends got camels, Adam. They got camels. I say, hey, what are you doing there, Adam, with the camels? They say, hey, yeah, I'll be riding it. But my other uncle always cuts our camels. He wants to chow it. He's like a lovely meat. Have you tried camel meat, Adam?
No, I've never tried that, Shafaz. I don't see them as edible, the ship of the desert. And, really, we see them in all the prophetic stories and stuff. I prefer lamb meat, Shafaz, when it comes to the palate.
I'll share one story with you, Adam. I was in Mogadishu, and there I was sitting on the table, and the chows were coming, and I'm thinking, hey, I don't know what I'm going to eat here. And then they brought this meat, they put it in front of me, and they gave me a big smile. I said, eat. I said, okay. By the way, what meat is this? And they told me, goat meat. Hey, Adam, did I eat? I said, no, I don't eat goat. And that was it. I said, go bring me some fish, but don't give me goat. What about you, goat meat?
No, I can't quite remember eating goat meat. I haven't really eaten much exotic meat. But it's mostly lamb and steak. Yeah. But I love fish. Give me a fish steak and I'm happy.
No, I'm like you, hey? Well, I tell you, Adam, I don't know what to call this. Whilst we're fishing again and things are happening over and over, but hopefully this time it won't happen again. I'm going to say this. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whatever napak jinn or jinn day today, take it away.
Yeah, you remind me of fishing, Shafaz. Whenever we're putting out to sea, I tell my guests, make a good bismillah, and then we launch, Shafaz, and inshallah we get some good fish. Can you hear me clearly now?
You're absolutely right. There it is. I don't know how much you heard of the king story, but then he had a fish with him. And he has a ritual where he passes a bowl You know, first he washes his hands, and then we have to dip into the same bowl and wash our hands. And what I noticed on his left fingernail was so long. So, but anyway, we had to be diplomatic, and we had everything. The Arabs gave him gifts upon gifts, dollars upon dollars, and promised him the world. I don't think they fulfilled their promises. Yes, Adam, moving on with our fishing and the statistics. Do we really have Durban 92% full with tourists?
Shafat, you know, I've seen the numbers increase. Like in the evenings when I come down to the beachfront, I see lots of locals coming back from the beaches. And the crowds are here. There are more bookings than normal. I mean, not more than previous festive season, but it is higher than what was expected. Considering all the challenges that we're facing on the beachfront with pollution, etc., I think many of the visitors have been put off. But alhamdulillah, numbers are coming through and hotels are getting booked.
Alhamdulillah, as you say, they're getting booked. And the bathers, have you seen thousands of them bathing as reported? I mean, this is what we're hearing, and they're so immune to the cops and the law enforcement. They're just telling them, leave us alone. We enjoy the water. Adam?
Yes, I have seen some big crowds, especially over December 16th. It's usually quite crowded here on the beachfront. But during the day, it kind of thins out. There's not the crowds that we've seen in previous years over the school holidays. By now, you know, there should be daily big crowds. So I think, I don't know whether it's just the cost of travel that's keeping people away, or they're all quite familiar, or they're all on social media and watching all the posts of which beaches are open and which beaches are closed. But having said that, the number of surfers out there is still the same as it is always, Shafat. So there are people that are confident to swim in these waters. But with all those negative reports, I think it has made an impact in keeping some part of the population away from the beach.
You know, been many years ago, when we went to the river mouth, or we went to the topic, you know, people say, hey, Balazia, Balazia, hey, make sure you take your Balazia tablets. Where's the Balazia gone now, Adam?
That's a good question, Shafad, but I do know that there's still a lot of pollution coming down from the rivers and the estuary system. But these are not natural pollutants. This is sewage that's supposed to be treated, you know, by our infrastructure. And, you know, if the infrastructure can't cope, I think it's really sad part in our Durban history where they open the sluice gate and just allow the raw sewage to flow into the rivers, killing everything in its path. And it's so voluminous that it's flowing into the ocean and killing everything in the ocean, and reaching our bathing beaches, and soon enough we'll be making human sick as well, Shafad.
Yeah, and you know, alhamdulillah, we stay healthy, wealthy, and wise. And you know what? Only by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're surviving many things. And there's rumors that they are polluting the air, and they're doing this, and those that have taken certain jabs are getting even more sick, and a lot of young people making part of that from the dunya and so forth. But the fishing keeps you healthy and gives you that oomph, a look around, and any new advancement in the world of fishing, Adam? Any new technology?
Oh, yes, Shafad. I've been watching lots of seminars on slow pitch jigging, and this one expert in fishing talks about his life and career through fishing, and he's done everything from catching dorados in the hundreds, catching sailfish more than he could count, and he was basically reaching burnout. And then he discovered slow pitch jigging, which kind of like reinvigorated him as a new style of fishing and a new challenge. And he goes on about the latest tackle that's been developed for it. It's pretty much been developed in Japan, where the inshore resources have been pretty much depleted, and it was really difficult for anglers to get onto good fish. So this style of fishing has been developed so you can reach deeper reefs, deeper parts of the ocean, using a very light rod, a small reel, very thin diameter braid, and specially designed metal lures that actually flutter down as you release the lure. It flutters down into the ocean, mimicking an injured bait fish, and this entices the predator fish to come up and eat it. And you can target every kind of fish, from surface swimming fish like dorado and sailfish, or midwater swimming fish like kingfish and kota, and even the bottom fish like slingers and Englishman, Scotsman, rockhard, mussel cracker. It's accessible to anyone, and I've started to experiment with it as well, Shafat, and I'm really loving it. So in the weeks ahead, hopefully we'll take some videos of it and post it on YouTube as well, Shafat.
Well, one of your biggest fans, Harun from London, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Uncle Shafat and Adam Kamda. Can you please ask our best skipper in the world, Adam Kamda, how safe it is to consume fish in Durban with the E. coli account going into the million? Tell him, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, those counts are very high in the rivers because you're basically testing sewage, not testing water. And then along our beaches, you know, the beaches that have been flagged as no bathing, those are not safe to swim in or to, don't fish in that as well. But having said that, as soon as you move offshore, Shafat, the water is pristine. For example, we've had a southwesterly wind blowing yesterday, and it's forecast for the entire day today. So that will actually push a lot of the dilute a lot of the polluted water, and it will bring that clean blue deep sea water close to shore, Shafat. So if you are going out fishing, I'd say from a mile or two away from the beach and deeper, you have no problem whatsoever catching fish and consuming that fish. But I wouldn't recommend standing on the shore in our Durban beaches and trying to catch fish and taking it home to eat. Having said that, you can move further south to Margate or further north to Richards Bay, and those areas are pretty clean and the fish are safe to consume, Shabbat.
Yeah, lovely. Those fish in Uvongo near, and going deep. The Anuru Shoal, Kumas. How's the waters there? And the fish must be very happy that end, Adam. No one touches them.
Strangely, I think I saw a report about Amgababa. There was also some negative report about Amgababa. So you really have to be up to date with where the water is being tested and what's going on. So I'd recommend, if you are a fisherman, you know, I'd book a charter with one of our local guys and go out to sea. It's summer now. Dorado are on the bite. Go out and target dorado. And there's also some fantastic bottom fish to be caught off our reefs, off Amshlanga, Belito area. And I've seen, Jake from some of the best fishing charters putting his clients onto some really top fish. And I think they even landed a sailfish. Sailfish normally is caught, you know, with game fishing tackle, but these guys caught it on a bottom tackle. That's with a bottom rod and a KP reel, and it was quite something to watch. He's posted a video of that as well on Facebook and YouTube. And if you're interested, I'd recommend you to log on and search for it and have a look. This was done over the last couple of days, so it's really fresh news, and it's really entertaining to see what can come out of our waters of Durban, Shafat.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I know Mufti A.K. Hussain is related to you in your family. I remember your uncle, Hussain Ghani, telling me that. And maybe, you know, Mufti A.K. Hussain, yourself, and a few of, maybe Bodyface, our engineer, who's our company every Sunday. We should go on board, and Mufti can make the zikr, and we'll do the fikr and pull the fish out at it.
Yes, that'll be great, Shafat. If you want to see the action, my friend Willem Rieder also always keeps his GoPro running, and he was on board with us on Thursday last week. It was Willem, Skalk, myself, and a youngster from our club, one of the new student members, Usama Dokrat. And you'll see, like, it was just a couple hours of fishing in the morning before work, but it was such amazing action at the number one reef just off Durban. It's only like about 2 miles out, Shafat. But it was action-packed with kingfish and amberjack and lots of bonitos and even lots of shark action. Willem managed to capture some of the shark action on the surface as well. So really action-packed video. And he's got a channel called WR Fishing on YouTube. So search for that as well. Subscribe to it so you'll see all our antics. He fishes often with me, so you'll get regular videos updated of fishing in the Durban Harbour, fishing offshore at number one. And inshallah, in the weeks ahead, we'll go and target dorado as well, Shafat. I'm really looking forward to posting her first dorado for the season.
Well, inshallah, you'll get that. And I watched you the last time you were out at sea, and the reader and your friend and all that. Really interesting to watch, you know, the patience you have. And are they catching the fish and releasing it, not for eating, Adam?
The kingfish was released, Shafat. The two amberjacks we kept for the pot. The bonitos make fantastic shark bait, so a lot of the shark enthusiasts would buy the bonitos. So I take that to the shop, Shafat.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, then it's a trip worthwhile going out, as you say, the amount of investment that you're putting through. And the price of fuel, how does it affect the fishermen? What type of fuel do you use on your boat? Is it power paraffin or is it, I don't know, what type of fuel do you use?
It's the same unleaded fuel that you would fuel your car up with, Shafat. So you just go to the garage with your containers, full of fuel, take it to your boat and refuel the boat.
And I know what you say. I know. Musa, tell the listeners what you say when you put the petrol in your tank.
Bismillah.
Beautifully, he said it. Bismillah. And this man's heart is so big that Dr. Khan is there and Dr. Fakhruddin and all the doctors are sitting there. And they say, must we pay? And he knows the hand's not coming out of the pocket. So don't worry. Don't worry. It's all on me. That's Adam. Adam. We got that heart from, say, hey, don't worry, man. Don't worry. I'll pay. Adam?
Yes, Shafat. Fishing is my pleasure, and I consider myself, sometimes I go out solo as well, so I cover the entire cost. So when I take visitors as well, Shafat, I consider it as my pleasure. It's my pleasure to entertain them. And it's a privilege also, Shafat, to be able to take guests out, and mm-hmm. it's really a way to put a smile on their faces. So a lot of skippers frown when they come back and no one's sharing the cost. But I consider it quite a privilege to take people out and cover the fuel cost myself, Shafat.
You know, you remind me of the true spirit of Ibrahim alayhi salam, always looking for, you know, when will the guests come to my home? In your case, you know, I mean, Allah has given you that amana, and Allah bless you for that, Adam. And maybe all that is all helping to be the strong and forever young Adam Kamta. You will not age, Adam. Because of the big heart you have, you'll always be a lighty. Adam, what a lovely company. Now I know why Harun missed you. Hey, you are sending me big, big messages. Where is the skipper? Where is the skipper? I said, hey, don't ask me. Go and ask the skipper. He doesn't want to tune with us. All the time, you know, you get out of reception and so forth. That's your parting words this morning, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, through all the doom and gloom with the negative reports about Durban beaches, I still encourage everyone to come down and enjoy what Durban has to offer. Book the hotels, enjoy the restaurants, book some local tours, go on a local charter, fishing charter, and enjoy and learn the sport of fishing and take it to new levels. So thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Always a pleasure to be on air. Salams to you and the listeners.
Yes, always. A pleasure being in your company also. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.